When a human being comes into being, in other words, when he comes into this world, in other words, when he is born in this world, then he brings along with him one item. And that item, it never leaves his side. Always throughout his life or her life, this thing stays with that person, with Allah's hikmah, with Allah's wisdom and permission. And that is worries, difficulties, problems, mental stress and torture, difficult conditions, difficult circumstances. These are attached or with a person as soon as he is born. No individual man or woman is free from this, because this is all based on Allah's wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept these things with the human beings, given them to human beings according to His wisdom and hikmah at any stage of life of a human being. As soon as that person attains understanding, obviously if a person doesn't have understanding and maturity, he doesn't know. But if a person has maturity and understanding, the problems begin. As soon as he's a little bit older and he's got understanding, the qaida, the book, the lesson books given in his hand, he has to go to learn, he has to study, education. And as the years increase, the difficulties increase. Lots of children, they can't sleep in the night, they're distressed. What's the problem? Oh, I'm scared of study, of my teacher. I've got so much to learn, study. And we think the child's got nothing to fear, he's eating, drinking, but I've got all the stresses of working and salary and employment. But it doesn't matter who you look at in the world, whatever stage of life that person is in, everybody is surrounded by or overwhelmed by difficulties. Now, difficulties, to become distant from difficulties, we try our best. Yeah, a person uses his mind, the means, different methods and different tools and techniques. Sometimes he thinks that problems are magic. Sometimes he thinks that the distresses in life are jinn surrounding him or near him. In all ways and forms, a human being will look for formulas to get rid of the problems. Okay. So we exercise our brains, and maximum what we understand is, okay, now this difficulty, it's a medical issue. It's a medical issue. What do then? We start medically trying to treat that person, and people have researched, and you've got psychologists and doctors who formulate medicines to suppress the issue, the so-called issue. Give him this or treat him with this so he gets peace of mind. Because we do all things for peace of mind. Whenever you've got a difficulty, an issue, you go to a psychologist. Oh, he's depressed. Please give the solution. They say, here's the solution. And he'll put the injection into his flesh. Take some antidepressants, my son, and go to sleep. Oh, but I can't take tablets. He says, if you can't take tablets, then keep on staying under stress. Then, depressed. Then, this is dangerous. But according to this time and day and age we're living in, you hear commonly, you see this in the news, that this man, he's committed suicide, taking his own life. People, so-called high-level people, intellectuals, if I give you the list, you'll be surprised. People who've taken their own lives due to their so-called issues. So what does this mean? Does this mean that there's no cure for these issues? Allah Ta'ala says that every illness there's a cure, and every difficulty is based on my wisdom. We're sitting here, tell me the truth. Everyone here will have some issue or other in life. It cannot be that we don't. Everybody will have. Somebody's got a problem with the children, the wedding of the children, shop, business. You've got to pay this person, take from this person. We're all sitting in dhikr. We're all here, aren't we? But when we're in dhikr, then we are sat immersed, drowned with problems. We pray salah, we're prostrating. And inside we have all the distress, worries, stresses of life. So suddenly these thoughts have come into mind, what I'm discussing with you, I'll benefit with this as well, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. There must be some poor soul sitting here who's ill, chronically ill, with issues and worries, that due to him, Allah Ta'ala has put this topic into my mind. May Allah Ta'ala allow his issues to be cured and solved, and ours as well, and mine. Ameen. Subhanallah. There are many ill people, sick people, distressed people, and they don't know what to do. And they say, oh, it's better than all of this is to die. Shaitan grabs him because death, to have a death like this, the punishments that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed are very severe indeed. A person who takes his own life and he dies in that way, then he will be severely punished. Anyone who commits suicide, there's no sense of this in Islam. But people do this because they are so distressed. And here they will say, oh, medicines aren't helping me. There's no cure. There's no remedy. But this is not the remedy. So what do we do now? Allah Ta'ala said, I gave you illness. I gave to you based on my hikmah. So I'll tell you the cure, Allah Ta'ala says. I'll tell you. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. That we don't want to go to the cure. Do we? We don't want to listen to Allah. We don't want to listen to what he's saying. That look, my friends, that those people who don't listen to Allah, Allah says that the adab, punishment is that you will continue to be in under distress and stress and worries. Continue. When we do wrong actions to try to cure the problem, we think we've got peace. But Allah Ta'ala says then the consequences that get severe over and above that. But Shaitan gives this method that take this water, drink this, and all your problems will disappear. Drink this liquid or take this potion. Isn't this the case? So Allah Ta'ala says that the solution I've given to you, if I've given you problems first there's a reason for it, and there's hikmah, wisdom behind it, there are benefits for this. Say Subhanallah. Allah says, if I didn't give you these issues and problems, you'd be incomplete. Oh foolish people, you want to go to Jahannam? Look at the difference between those who have iman and those who don't. Isn't there a difference? That they also have illnesses and you have illnesses. So I've given you direct the illness. Yes? So why do you go to those people who have no knowledge of how to cure the problems? You have got intellect, understanding, wisdom. Ask from Allah. Allah will tell you in the Quran the solution. Allah says, I'll tell you the cure. No doctor will tell you. No physician will tell you the cure for this. Subhanallah. So will we implement the solution? Inshallah. Allah says, Ala bi dhikrillahi taqma'innul qulub. Subhanallah. So a small verse. Small verse. There's many verses of the Quran. The whole life solution is sealed in those verses. Sometimes I think when I read the Quran, this? Just two, three words. A verse so short. I was reading a verse and this verse is just a few words long. And I was thinking, I went crazy. All the solutions of the world's problems are in this verse. Amazing, amazing Quran. Allah, I swear by Allah. Amazing Quran. Allah's given us. It's such a unique thing. Can't understand. Persons of Quran. And Allah says that the Quran is shifa, rahmah, mercy, cure for the mu'mineen. You haven't understood this kitab. You keep on repeating blindly, you don't understand. Allah says, you haven't understood why I created the Quran. I've sent the Quran. The basic solution Allah has given in the Quran. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. What is Allah saying here? Allah says it cannot be verily 100%. No doubt. Allah says, try Allah. Except for the dhikr of Allah, no peace in your heart or mind will come except for the dhikr. You can go to the mental institute. You can go to any person, physician, trust you. Okay, you tried your best. You got problems. Job problems. You get the job. Then the next problem will come. On top of not having a job, employment. When you get employment, another problem will be waiting to hit you. Soon as you get a job, somebody was asked, I've seen people, oh, when I get the visa, then I'll celebrate, I'll do a hajj, they're trying to satisfy them. As soon as he gets the visa in his passport, the next problem comes. Now what are you going to do with this problem? Yes, and if you cannot get satisfaction after passing away, then where will we go? We say, oh, when I die, then I'll be free from the problems of the world. Allah says that when you pass away, then where will you go? Then will you go? It's obvious that a mu'min, what he should do, close all the doors to the fake solutions, and what should he grab hold of? Dhikr. Allah's dhikr. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. What is this? One cure. Allah's mentioning. Yes? And if we understand, today I've understood this cure, and that's why I'm speaking to you. I won't just go speaking endlessly without any reason. How does the dhikr of Allah get rid of all our issues in life? The sickness of life. If Allah says that dhikr gets rid of the sicknesses, then how does it do it? Let's speak about this. On which stage, at which level do the worries of life disappear when we do dhikr of Allah? There are many people will be like this. They will have come distressed, worried. When they sit down and do dhikr, then half of the illness will have just disappeared. Just in our discussion now. There's a reason, because dhikr has an impact. Doesn't it? you will have come to beginning of this majlis, problems, worries, difficulties, thoughts. As soon as we sit down, we start the discussion. Dhikr has even started yet. Half the problems have gone. Yes, you close your eyes, you feel nice and light because sakina is coming. Sakina. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Subhanallah. So now we have to see, we have to identify that what is the actual impact that's made. Research has been done. Let's speak medically first. Look, there's a total subject that's coming in my mind. It's like I've revised this subject today and come and speaking to you, isn't it? But this is the system. Allah's mercy is what's assisting us. I've not prepared for this discussion. Yeah, you think our Hazrat Sahib will have studied kitabs and researched and come. Totally not. Soon as I prayed salah, these thoughts came in my mind that this is what I want to discuss today. Subhanallah. No preparation. So now, medically, what is the cure instilled within dhikr? Yeah, that I haven't done a lot of research. I'm not a medical physician, but why no? People think they research and study that a person, when he's stressed out, is due to the mindset. The physical thinking and pondering in the world. Person's got no job, problems, he has thoughts, the thoughts go into his brain, into his mind, they spread, the stress spreads, then it makes his heart weak and frail. The research will prove this. Go and read up. So what should we do? They said that there's one cure, that the root cause of the problem to the heart, where the brain is spreading bad thoughts and distress and worries, let's control that brain. Here's a scientist brother sitting here, ask him, he'll tell you that what the doctors say, they don't control your hand, they don't control your stomach. What do they do? Direct, they go to the brain cells. They go to the physicians. The doctors, the mental doctors, they say, the psychologists say, right, let's slow down his brain. Take this tablet, antidepressants, take an injection. Why? Because those tablets and capsules, they're designed to slow down the pulses in the brain. The messaging from the brain to the rest of the body. So they slow it down, make it sleep, and make it drowsy. So this is artificial cure. It is the correct cure, but it's the artificial cure. So where do all the thoughts and the worries and the distresses emanate from? The brain. Problems. I can't sleep. I've got bad thoughts. I can't sleep. The person says, maybe tomorrow you have a court case. And even if you win that court case, it's possible you'll win the court case tomorrow. Maybe he'll dismiss the court. But the night before, you won't be able to sleep. Or if I fail, what will I do? Or if I get convicted, it'll become difficult for me. Tomorrow you've got the decision on your visa. For years you've applied. You're lying down in the night before. Oh, if I get the visa, good. But if I don't, what will I do? So negative thoughts will come. Oh, if I don't get the stamp, what will I do tomorrow morning? So negative thoughts always prevail. So the doctors say, take two tablets. Tablets, sleeping tablets, antidepressants. They slow down your brain's power. And you think the cure has come. When the tablets take over, then you haven't got the cure. You're still a monkey and animal. You still break down the doors. You still got issues. So Allah, in comparison to this, has given a cure. Allah says, shun these tablets. Dhikr of Allah is the solution. What does the dhikr of Allah do? Same impact. Because it's from Allah, the solution. It works in the same way. In other words, it has the same consequences. The end result is that when a person does dhikr of Allah, first and foremost, the dhikr of Allah goes to the brain cells and controls the brain cells. It shackles the brain cells. It changes the brain cells. That's why Allah says, do dhikr kathira. High quantity. High abundance. Why? Because thoughts, sicknesses, bad thoughts, evil thoughts, shaitani thoughts. Allah says, do dhikr kathira continuously, endlessly, always. Kulli hayani. In all positions of the day, wherever you are, do dhikr of Allah. Why? Let me explain. Because when you take the medicine, the antidepressants, the crazy pills, whatever you want to call them, when a person takes a pill or a tablet, those medical, the chemicals, they go and overtake his brain cells, and then they slow him down. So he's thinking, will I get the visa tomorrow? Will I win the court case tomorrow? Same condition. Why is he sleeping now? Because the tablets have taken over his brain, his thoughts slowed him down, then he goes to sleep. His depression decreases. Dhikr, what is the quality, characteristic of dhikr? The capacity of dhikr is that dhikr of Allah, Allah's name, it goes, it flows along his pulses in his thoughts to the brain cells and grabs them, takes over them. And the effect of dhikr is those thoughts that are in your mind, your brain, artificial distress. Allah says, dhikr, cancel these thoughts and make a permanent thought in his brain, which is what? Allah, Allah, Allah. So the dhikr of Allah, what happens? What is the effect? that when he does dhikr, when he remembers Allah, he remembers Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah's name, the spirituality of Allah's name, his thought, his remembrance, overtakes the brain. Just like the tablets, chemicals, take over the pulses of his thoughts. The same way the dhikr of Allah says, وَمَا كُنْتُمْ أَيْنَ كُنْتُمْ. Always the thought of Allah is in his mind and his heart. Look how Allah controls a person with his name. And when Allah's name and Allah's remembrance takes over a person's thoughts, always in his mind is Allah, and all other thoughts end and are cancelled, then what happens? He starts to control his life positively. He has no worries, no issues, no distress, because this is the cure that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed. Allah adds another additive to the cure. And this is what happens, is that my love also creates in this solution, my tasawwur, my thoughts, that human being, he starts to think about me, his love comes into him, my love comes into him, and positive thinking comes into him, and he doesn't remember anything negative after that. Subhanallah. He's totally devoid of distress and sadness and depression. And he's immersed and overpowered with the name of Allah. He says, there's no issues. I've got no problems. All the negatives come out because Allah's name has overwhelmed his brain and thoughts. The real positive thoughts have come into his mind. So when Allah is coming to him, in his thoughts, always in his thoughts, that's what Allah Ta'ala. Look. Salah is the greatest ibadah, isn't it? Worship. Allah says, when you do my ibadah, how should you do it? As if you are seeing me. Salah is miraj. Pray as if you are seeing me. If you can't do that, then at least pray feeling as if I'm seeing you. And when Allah says that when you empty your brain with all evil thoughts come out, worldly battles come out, and my love and thoughts and dhikr overtakes your mind, it's good. If this doesn't happen, Allah says that if my remembrance is not in your brain, and you take the love of the world into your brain, then what will happen? Then all distresses and issues and problems will overwhelm you and overtake you. Your brain will always be occupied with worries and obstacles and stresses. But on the other hand, if you overwhelm your brain with Allah's name, Allah's remembrance is constant and always you're saying Allah, 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 then nothing can permeate you, nothing can affect you, no fikr, no worries, no evil thoughts, no issues, no distress. Just like the antidepressants given by the psychologists, they do away with the thoughts, the bad thoughts. Same way dhikr of Allah will overtake your problems, was Allah will assist them. So this is the effect and quality of dhikr. And this is what a person, step number one, attains from the dhikr of Allah. Then Allah says, a maqam comes when you continue to do my dhikr. You'll become so mutama'in, so satisfied that you will be happy with every decision of mine, Allah says. Every decision of mine. So this is the dhikr of Allah, my friends. My brothers, now what we realize is that doesn't matter how many worries you have in life, the biggest cure, number one, is Allah's dhikr. Make it overwhelm your brain and your life. And the hikmah of Allah in this is what? Wisdom. Allah says, I created the problems of the world so that through the problems, issues, distresses and worries, when you don't get a cure anywhere else, then eventually, ultimately, you have to come to me, Allah says. You have to come to me. And Allah says, I have no benefit in you coming to me. Even if you didn't come, or if you do come, there's no benefit or loss to me, Allah says. But because you've come to me, Allah says, and due to your illness, I've invited you to me, Allah says, the benefit of you is that I will save you from the fire of Jahannam. Subhanallah. Then you'll pray Salah, then you'll read Quran, then you'll remember me, Allah says, then you'll love me, Allah says, and you will not do and take any steps which are against my principles and laws, all decisions of mine, laws of mine, hukam, you'll accept, you'll be happy with, and you'll say, Allah, I want to please you, you'll give me rizq and in the hereafter, and your thinking and thoughts will be strengthening and strengthening, that apart from Allah, you'll remember nobody else. Reason for this, why do we get upset? Why are we unhappy? Oh, this problem's giving me unhappiness. This is giving me unhappiness and distress. Don't worry about these things. That's it. Say, I understand now. I understand. In my mind, all I'm going to think is Allah and nothing else. That's it. And the best way, the highest level, tariqah, is to bring Allah's remembrance into yourself. Into yourself. Totally your life should be Allah, Allah. Every single atom of your body, nucleus, the protons and the atoms, everything should be turning to Allah's remembrance. The great walis of Allah, they did this. The Sahaba Ikram, they did this. Why did they say that when I am praying Salah, then take this out of my leg or operate on my leg? Why? They were so immersed in Allah's remembrance that their leg was being operated on, they didn't realize. It's not that there wasn't pain there. There was pain. But the leg was being operated on. And they knew that, they didn't know that was there any pain in the leg or not. They were asked, the after Salah, he said, did you pray on my leg? Yes. They didn't feel it. We have to take an aesthetic to make the leg numb. Look at the big difference. This is a punishment. The status of the mu'min is he should be totally immersed in Allah's remembrance. As a Baba Farid Shakar Ganji Rahmatullah, he used to love his son so much. Famous Sheikh. Obviously, the Sheikh and the Murids, they know, the students, they know that the Sheikh, and that what is he like, what is he like. So they knew that they used to take the reference of his son. They would always say, they would say, Hazrat Sahib, that if they mentioned the son's name, then Hazrat's mood would become good, because he used to love his son. So the son passed away. All the students were shocked. How will we tell our Sheikh that his son has passed away? He'll get a shock. He'll be shocked. We have no courage to tell him. So the most senior from the Khalifa's students said, we'll have to tell Hazrat Sahib that this has happened. This tragedy has happened. So he went and said, Hazrat, he pleaded. He said, Sheikh Sahib, your son, he's passed away. And they were afraid. They were afraid, all were upset. They said, "What? Hazrat Sahib will be shocked." Hazrat Sahib was thinking, whose son are you speaking about? They said, Hazrat, your son. He said, what was his name? He said, this was his name. He said, I had no son. Subhanallah. So from this, he was so much immersed in the love of Allah that he didn't even remember who was his son at that time. He wasn't sad or distressed. What? He said, no, I don't know who you're talking about. Which son are you speaking about? So this is an example. This is an example of us to understand that the status of the mu'min is that Allah should be so close to us. Allah says, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. This is qurb. Nearness to Allah. Allah says, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. What does this mean? What does it mean? That difficulties are problems. There's no problem in the life of a mu'min. No mu'min has any problems, because he knows that everything comes from Allah. Allah will give, Allah will stop it, Allah will decrease it. Allah gives us children, Allah gives us the disobedience comes from Allah. All problems come from Allah. I don't need to be sad. I am from Allah and I need to be attached to Allah. Subhanallah. And this is called a person who is totally overwhelmed with the remembrance of Allah. So when a person is honest and he starts to remember Allah sincerely, then as he remembers Allah more and more, this position comes to life. The best way to attain this position and level in life is what? Subhanallah. What is it? The best way. The best and most effective way to attain this level is if you are attached to the Naqshbandi order, the Naqshbandi school of tasawwuf, which you are all students of, alhamdulillah. And that is maraqaba. Dhikr maraqaba. Yes? This is maraqaba. What is maraqaba? What does it mean? Maraqaba, the meaning of maraqaba is nothing else. That just you, Allah, and that's it. That's the meaning of maraqaba. Yeah? It's no hidden meaning or some magical meaning. The Hazrat, what dhikr shall I do? That if you want to do dhikr, then you need to get the benefit. Hazrat Sahib said a beautiful unique point, that if you will do dhikr now, then what's the benefit? Don't do dhikr. You have to do dhikr. Remember it in such a way that you need to be totally lost in Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. This is what is maraqaba. That when dhikr ends, recitation ends, when everything ends, it's one-on-one with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's remembrance. Yes, Allah, Hazrat Sahib said, you've done so much now, you still talk about dhikr. When you go to dhikr, what salah? What time is salah? You're still speaking about salah. Allah says, you've come now to the station for which you were reading salah, which is the meeting with Allah. So maraqaba is practice in this dunya for that station thereafter. So maraqaba is not dhikr. Maraqaba is Allah's remembrance, 100% pure, totally lost in Allah's remembrance. That's it. Just like when a person gets an injection, anesthetic, he doesn't feel the pain. So if you work hard, then you'll get the sabaks, the lessons. You'll be safe from haram and all the asools of deen and Naqshbandi silsila. You should understand them, progress along them, and you will progress and you get close to Allah and you won't have issues in your life. We're wasting our lives. We went to Hazrat Sahib, we left everything in the dunya. We put it all, I put everything to the until as long as Hazrat Sahib was alive, I said, I'm not going to anything in the dunya. I'm going to sit with my Sheikh and I want to be totally overwhelmed and occupied with the learnings and teachings from my Sheikh. To learn Allah's remembrance and get close to Allah, we have to do something, brothers. We have to give up time. Not you go 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening. This is the start. This is the initiation. This is not the destination. This is not the end point. Tell me, how can a person be fana, overwhelmed by Allah Ta'ala? His remembrance. Allah says that, ask for my love and for the love of those people I love and those who love me. That I say, Allah, I want to be close to you. So if I want to be close to you, how do I do this? Allah says, this is the Prophet's dua, that go to that person and find his love, the person who's already immersed in Allah's remembrance. This is the tariqah. That Allah give me your love and give me the love of those people who you love. Allah give me the love of those people who remember you. Those who love you, who totally love you and are immersed in your remembrance. This is Sahih Hadith, all of my present, ask them. What a great dua. Allah, I need your love, but how do I do this? I go to those people who you love and those who love you already. So I need to go through those individuals. Allah says, fine, fine. But first become fana. First become fana with that person, in love with that person who already is extremely in love with me. So this is called fanaful shaykh. So this is the lesson of tasawwuf. This is what this hadith means. This is what the hadith teaches us. If you want to get close to Allah, if you want to get close to Allah Ta'ala's remembrance and love, this is first step to do that in your thoughts, in your life. Always, what should you be thinking about? Your shaykh, your teacher. We say this is shirk. Astaghfirullah. Tasawwur is shaykh, thinking about your teacher. And in the Naqshbandi silsila, this is how a person progresses. By thinking about his teacher, pondering, analyzing a second in your life, if from your heart to your mind, if you're detached from your sheikh, then you are lost. A person should be so, so close to his sheikh. The fares comes from, the blessings comes from the heart of my sheikh to my heart. Always you should be attached in the being, in the thoughts, in the practices of your sheikh. He should be in your mind. Then you come to the maqam that you see your sheikh. It's not you who's speaking, it's the shaykh who's speaking, because you are so similar to his qualities, to his practices. These are the emotions and the feelings to get close to Allah. This is tasawwuf, it's a unique practice to get close to Allah. Yes, we say, oh, if I do this, and I'll do this, if I do this much dhikr, I'll do this. No, this is a ajeeb path, ajeeb teaching. These are emotions that Allah Ta'ala has given us the path to get close to him. So, if a person doesn't have tasawwur shaykh, always thinking, pondering, and analyzing how he's been taught by shaykh and the practice of a shaykh. So when he's totally, totally in love with his teacher, his thoughts, his practice, his amal, every word, every thought is a reflection of his teacher. When he's so fana, when he's so immersed in the quality of a shaykh, then easily, so softly, Allah Ta'ala connects that student to himself. To Allah, because we have to go to Allah, we have to get close to Allah. That's when a person progresses. So this is when a person gets this from maraqabat. When a person sits in maraqaba, then all attachment to the dunya ends, dhikr, tasawwur, he sits and the fares comes direct. The sabak for each lesson, the sabak, this much you have to do, this is the fares of this sabak is coming into my heart. Where's it coming from? From my shaykh's heart. This is what you have to think. Because Allah sends the fares to the shaykh, and the shaykh teaches the student. This is what we need to understand. Whichever ulum you are learning, same principle applies. Whichever ustad you are learning from, understand this. Don't give a fatwa on this. That these are the great mashayikh who teach. When I went here, I went there, when I had tasawwur shaykh, then straight away my shaykh came in front of me. Do you understand this point? This doesn't mean physically. This is not shirk. This is thought of the teacher so that his benefit comes to you. Because when Allah Ta'ala wants to give his help to you, it's via the latifa of the shaykh, via the assistance of the teaching of the shaykh. So when you're doing dhikr, then when you get close to Allah, then you are a reflection. You are a physical reflection of the practice of your shaykh, because you become so good and so close to his practices. SubhanAllah. So this is the maqamat, these are the levels. So tell me, explain that after reading and hearing, a person's illnesses go away. You won't feel like taking medicines and antidepressants. So now when difficulty comes, problems come in your life, do dhikr of Allah. And dhikr, if you think, my dhikr, why is it not helping me? Still run back towards dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah, keep doing it, keep doing it. Whatever problems you have, spiritual, medical, mental, the worse the medical, mental problems are, the more you'll become close to Allah and you'll become a wali of Allah. I'll write it down for you, I'll guarantee it to you. The amount of medicines you take, the injections and tranquilizers and antidepressants, if you leave those and remember Allah and follow 100% the teachings of the shaykh, the more you are sick in your mind, mentally, I guarantee to you, the more that individual, that personality will become the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah. That's how great is the remembrance of Allah. This is based on Allah's hikmah. And I say this regularly, that when Allah wants to make a human being his friend, then Allah definitely gives him sicknesses in the world. Definitely Allah gives him problems in the world. But the reason for that is, some people, they fall into the trap of shaitan. Shaitan's trap, they fall into that, and then it gets worse for them. Obviously, nafs and shaitan are big forces, they go, they come to the majlis, they sit, they listen, but the yaqeen is weak and fragile. They take the tasbih to do dhikr, then they leave it. Then they start doing dhikr, then they take a U-turn, they hear the words, the bayans, then they leave, then they run back. Oh no, this is not right, this is doubtful. No, these 3-4 points, remember that I've told you today, inshallah, you will reach to your destination if Allah wills. Hold on to them firmly, and this is the objective of life. Fanafallah, become immersed in Allah's remembrance, all problems will go. Problems will continue in this world till death. There's no man or woman in this world that doesn't have problems until death. You can never satisfy any person in this world. Dunya will never be happy with you. I can write this down for you now on a document. Dunya will never be satisfied with you, because dunya is a vicious cycle. Or maybe this man will be happy. If I do this, he'll be happy. If I do this, then this will occur. I'll get this progression, this advancement. Then after that, another problem will come. But if you remember Allah, Allah says, my love will increase and more you will get attached to me, and those issues will go further away from you. You'll try harder to get closer to Allah, harder to get closer to Allah. But when you run after the dunya will get further away from you. Further from, there's only one path we need to adopt. What's that? What is that? Fana for Allah. Run towards Allah. Become immersed in Allah's remembrance. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alamil alameen. As-salatu wa-salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin. Shafiq al-Muslimin. Taha wa yaseen al-Habib al-Ameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Mawlana Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وزلمنا حزلنا وجندنا خطونا عمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت وما أسفت وما تعلم به أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين رب اغفر بهم وانت خير الراحمين رب اغفر بهم وانت خير الراحمين رب اغفر بهم وانت خير الراحمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وتقنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم نسألك حبك وبنج حبك ومنج حبك يا شكيم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني أنت العالمين لا إله أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم ثبتنا الإيمان وعمتنا الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان لما إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا دافع البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرضنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرضنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرضنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا والآخرة امين اللهم ہماری مصیبتوں کو دور فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری پریشانی کو دور فرما دے اے میرے مولا ہم دلوں کو اتنا نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو مستقیت اتنا نصیب فرما دے اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل کرم سے اپنی محبت نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ اپنی یاد نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ اپنی یاد نصیب فرما دے اے میرے مولا ہمیں اپنا ذکر نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ ذکر کی مجالس نصیب فرما دے نیک لوگوں کی صحبت نصیب فرما دے یا اللہ اللہ والوں کی محبت نصیب فرما یا اللہ اللہ والوں کی محبت نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں اخلاص نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں اخلاص نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے سارے کام سیدھے کر دے یا اللہ ہمارے کاموں کو سیدھا فرما دے اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل و کرم سے ہماری تمام مصیبتوں کو دور فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری زندگی میں آسانی پیدا فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری اولاد کو فرما بردار بنا دے ہماری آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بنا دے یا اللہ ہمارے رزق کے وسائل کھول دے یا اللہ رزق حلال رزق کے دروازے کھول دے اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل کرم سے اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی صحابہ اجمعین رحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.